This program is made possible by the partners of Joyce Meyer Ministries.
Is it possible that maybe you think everybody else is the problem? That you think maybe it's everybody else's fault that you're unhappy? But maybe, I don't know, I'm not accusing, but maybe you're unhappy because you've got some things in your heart that need to be taken care of between you and God. I do what I do because I've seen God's power transform my own life, and He will do it for you. The key to everything is found in God's Word. I'm Joyce Meyer, and I believe that God can heal you everywhere you hurt.
And if it hadn't been for Joyce, I wouldn't have reconnected with my mom, because I would have still harbored those feelings.
Well, thank you for joining me today on Enjoying Everyday Life, and I pray right now that you're going to really enjoy the program and get something out of it that's going to be life-changing for you. This is the third day that I've been talking about six ways to determine if we have unforgiveness. Now, the first 2 days I talked about unforgiveness, and I talked about the story of the prodigal son and the elder brother, and then yesterday I got to the first way to determine if we have unforgiveness in our heart. I'm going to do the rest of them today, but let me just quickly bring you up to date on this story that I'm teaching from, in case you're not familiar with it. You can read it in Matthew 15, 11 through 32. But it says, a man had two sons. One was a little older, one was younger. The younger son said, Father, I want my inheritance now. Not a good thing to do. It was equivalent to saying, Dad, I wish you were dead. I want my money. So the father divided the inheritance between the two boys. The older boy stayed home. The younger boy took his money, moved away. Wasted it all. Was living with a pig farmer, feeding pigs. I mean, his life got so bad. You know, maybe at one time you were walking with God and you've walked away from Him, and now your life is just so bad. Well, reading this story will be encouraging to you, because the boy decided that he needed to go back and repent and just tell his father, I don't even have to be a son. I don't deserve to be your son. I'll just be a hired hand. But his father went running to him with open arms and kissed him and put the best robe on him and gave him a beautiful pair of sandals and a ring and killed the fatted calf and threw a big party. Well, the elder brother didn't like it. And so this story is really as much about the elder brother as it is the prodigal son. We always make a lot out of the prodigal son because that's a great message for people who need to come back to God. But we want to make sure we don't have the attitude this elder brother had. So the first thing is when he heard the music, he said, what's that? Unhappy people don't like happy things. And oh, he got so angry when he found out that his father was given this younger son a party, because he didn't think he deserved a party. You know, have you ever known anybody that got a huge blessing in their life and the first thing you thought was, huh, they don't deserve that? Well, that's the amazing thing about God, is He does things for us we don't deserve. He blesses people that don't deserve it. It's the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. And I remember times in my life when people that I didn't like would get things that I was believing for, and I was like, well, they didn't deserve that. They're not as spiritual as I am. Well, that shows why I wasn't getting what I wanted. I had this elder brother attitude. So, six things we learn from the elder brother. The first one I've already talked about. I just want to mention it to you again. Unforgiveness always keeps score. The Bible says that love takes no account. Love doesn't count up its good works, and it doesn't count up somebody else's sins. Love doesn't count up how many times it has to forgive somebody. It just is not an accountant. But the elder brother, boy, he counted stuff. And he said, look, Father, I've served you all these years. I've been slaving for you. I've never disobeyed your orders, which is highly doubtful. And you never even gave me a goat that I could celebrate with my friends. But his father said to him, son, you've been with me always. Everything I had was yours. It's amazing how happy we could be. Because, you know, we're joint heirs with Christ, and everything that Christ has also belongs to us. But many times we're so busy being religious and having a bad attitude that we don't cash in on the blessings of God. The second way that you can detect unforgiveness is unforgiveness always boasts of its own record. The elder brother said, I have never disobeyed your commands. All these years I've been slaving for you, and I have never. See, he's boasting of his own record. I've been so good and he's been so bad. How could you bless him and not bless me? And I'm sure this is making a few people squirm today. I know that I've had to learn these lessons and sometimes had to keep relearning them and keep relearning them. Well, you know, we need to mind our own business and pray for people if you feel like you need to. But it's not our business to tell other people what they should do. Well, I exercise and you don't. I read the Bible every day and you don't. I work hard and you're lazy. You know, there's a million different ways that we can judge and criticize people. But when we do that, we're always in our own mind. We're boasting of our own good works. Come on, somebody needs this. We're boasting of our own good works, and we're looking down on somebody else because they're not doing what we're doing. The self-righteous never see their own sin. They always see everybody else's sin. In Matthew 18, 9 through 14, there's a good story. It says, to some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everybody else, Jesus told them this parable. Two men went to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood off by himself and prayed, God, I thank you that I'm not like other people. Oh, can you imagine? Robbers, evildoers, adulterers, and or even like this tax collector. Well, you know, I don't know that we would pray, Father, I thank you that I'm not like other people, but I'm not so sure that we wouldn't think it sometimes. Well, I would never do that. I would never do that. You know, you don't really know what you would do unless you're in that situation. And even if we wouldn't do that, we might do something worse. I fast twice a week and I give tithes of everything that I get. But the tax collector, tax collectors were hated. Pharisees were supposed to be the most religious of the religious. So here you have this really religious man, and then you have this very sinful man. And the religious man says, oh God, thank you that I'm not like him. But the tax collector stood at a distance and wouldn't even look up to heaven. He beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you, this man rather than the other went home justified before God. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. Judgment always says, you're bad and I'm good. Wow. There's a lot to think about in that message. Unforgiveness always complains. Luke 15, 29, you never even gave me so much as a goat that I could celebrate with my friends. The elder brother had a martyr syndrome. Well, I did all the work while he was just out wasting all your money. Oh my gosh, how many times in the early days when I didn't know what I know now, not that I still don't have a lot to learn because I do, how many times would I say, today, well, I do all the work, and you just go out and play golf on Saturday and watch football on Sunday, and I just work, 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 work. I clean the house, and the kids mess it up. I was always boasting of my good works. And, oh, I thought everybody else had a problem, and here I was the one with the problem. Is it possible that maybe you think everybody else is the problem, that you think maybe it's everybody else's fault that you're unhappy, but maybe I don't know. I'm not accusing. But maybe you're unhappy because you've got some things in your heart that need to be taken care of between you and God. Unforgiveness always complains it's not being treated fairly. But the Bible says about Jesus, I love this, 1 Peter 2:23, when he was reviled and insulted, he did not revile or offer insult in return. When he was abused and suffered, he made no threats of vengeance, but he trusted himself and everything to him who judges fairly. The Father's response, and I love this, Son, everything you have had me all this time, and everything I have is yours. The elder brother could have been having a good life, a great life, but he was too busy being legalistic and judging everybody else. Legalism and joy don't go together. He was too busy with his works, trying to impress, crossing all the T's and dotting the I's. The Pharisee, what did Jesus say to the Pharisees? Remember, they were the most religious. Woe to you, teachers of the law, you Pharisees, you hypocrites. You give a tenth of all your spices, mint, dill, and cumin, but you have neglected the more important matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faithfulness. Wow. You know, we can keep all the rules. Not that there really are any, but we create a lot. But we can keep all the rules and still have a bad attitude and a bad heart. God wants us to be merciful and to be forgiving and to be loving and kind and generous. The next thing that unforgiveness does, number four, unforgiveness alienates, divides, and separates. The elder brother referred to his brother as this son of yours. You ever do that if you have kids and you're mad at one of them, your husband comes home and you say, your son did this or that. Not our son, but now he's your son. Well, that's what the elder brother did. He was dividing and separating. I'm not even going to call him my brother. The way he behaved, he's not even my brother. He's your son. This son of yours, he has squandered your property with prostitutes. Comes home and you kill the fatted calf for him. Just think about that. I mean, this boy had really done some wretched stuff. He wasted all of his inheritance. I'm sure he probably got drunk a lot. I don't know if they had drugs in those days, but they did. He would have probably been using them too. And he was spending his money on prostitutes. But when he decides to repent, I mean, when he really, from his heart, repented and said, I'm going to go home to my father, his father saw him coming a long way off, and he ran to meet him. Let me say again, if you have wandered away from God, or maybe you've never had a relationship with God, there's nobody watching, nobody on the planet that God, your sin is not too bad that God can't forgive you. And you don't have to try to talk him into it. I love this. As soon as the father saw the boy coming, he ran to him and met him. He didn't even wait to see what the boy was going to say. For all he knew, the boy was coming home from see if he could get more money. But he ran to him and said, my son who was dead is alive. My son who was lost is found. And I want to tell you, if you've been away from God, you can go back home too. You can turn to him and say, Father, forgive me for I have sinned and I want to serve you. I'm really sorry for my sins. And you'll find that he'll open his arms wide to you too. Unforgiveness alienates, divides, and separates. You know, when we have unforgiveness towards someone, oh, it's so hard not to talk bad about them to other people. Have you ever been mad at somebody and you heard somebody else saying what a great person they were? Oh, and you just can't help it. You got to say, yeah, well, you don't know what they did to me. But see, God doesn't want us to do that. He wants us to talk to Him about things, not talk to everybody else about these things. Unforgiveness withdraws. He wasn't going to go into the party. He was going to go off somewhere and sulk. He refused to go to the party. He didn't even want to be in the house. Remember, he was in the family, but not in the house. A believer, but not close to God. Oh, when I used to get mad at Dave, boy, I would withdraw. I would sleep on my side of the bed so far I'd be on the seam of the mattress. And I wasn't about to ask him for any cover. I'd lay there and freeze rather than ask him for anything. I didn't want to be in the same room with him. That's what unforgiveness does. You know, we need to have a reverential fear and awe of God. And that's something that we don't talk about very often. And there's a lot of messages in the Bible that we probably need to preach that a lot of people don't want to hear. Well, why should I be afraid of God? I didn't say be afraid of God. He's not out to hurt you, but have a reverential fear. You know, if I want to do what I'm doing and I want to carry God's anointing on my life, I can't have bitterness in my heart. I cannot. I can't be resentful. I can't have strife. I can't spend my time talking bad about other people. I have to forgive. I've got to keep my relationship with God right if I want to be able to help other people. And I don't want to just sit here and preach messages that don't really affect anybody. I want thousands of people to call the office today and say, I want a relationship with God. I want people who have bitterness in their heart to repent and ask God to help them. I want families to be restored. I want relationships with siblings to be restored. And I know in order for that to happen, I need to have God's anointing. And in order to have that anointing, I have to keep my heart pure. I can't do it without God's help, but He's not going to do it for me if I'm not willing to do my part. The next thing is that unforgiveness accuses, exposes, and continues to bring up the offense. Leave it, drop it, and let it go, is what God says. He devoured your estate with immoral women, and here you killed the fatted calf. He had to remind his father what his brother did that was wrong. Do you have a sibling that you're mad at, and mom or dad does something for them, and you feel like you have to remind them what he did or what she did? Well, God knows everything that we've done, and He doesn't bring it up. Every morning when I get up, God doesn't say, when I start trying to talk to Him, well, I'm going to talk to you, Joyce, but I want you to remember what all you did yesterday that you shouldn't have done. Let's quit throwing it up in people's faces, what they've done in the past. How about just letting go of the past and pressing into the good things that God has ahead? Come on, let's say that again. If you've got anything against anybody, let go of the past. You can't go back and undo. They can't go back and undo what they did. So forgive them and have a fresh start. But I got a strong feeling this is helping some people. Like I said, many times we have unforgiveness in our heart and it's been there so long we don't even know it's there anymore. Luke 15:30, but when this son of yours arrived who has devoured your estate with immoral women, you killed for him the fatted calf. Notice the elder brother sees everyone's faults but his own. He doesn't even see his own bad attitude. All he sees is what the brother did that was wrong. Unforgiveness keeps bringing up what others have done wrong, but love covers a multitude of sins. Boy, I love that. Love doesn't bring up stuff from the past. Love wants to forget it and get beyond it. Let's walk in love. Love is the most powerful thing in the world. 1 Peter 4:8 says, above all, love each other deeply because love covers a multitude of sins. And then the last thing is, number six, the last way you can detect unforgiveness is unforgiveness is always angry and jealous when someone it's angry about gets blessed, someone it's angry with gets blessed. And boy, that is so true. Well, you gave him a party and you killed for him the fatted calf. And I don't like it because I don't think he deserves it. Well, first of all, this son who was supposed to be so righteous was judging his father. He resented the fact that the father was giving the boy something he thought he didn't deserve. You say, well, what about me? Well, another good example of this type of behavior is seen in Joseph and his brothers. The father loved Joseph. He was kind of the baby of the family. There was another boy that was younger. His father just, he loved him. And the other brothers resented the fact that he loved him. You know, almost every family, whoever the baby is in the family, the others kind of get a bad attitude toward him sometimes because, you know, when you have your first child, you're probably broke and can barely make ends meet. And by the time you have your fifth or sixth one, you've got more money, you can do more for them. But then the older ones resent. I remember my older son saying, well, you know, I had to work for all my clothes and you just buy him everything. Well, you know, we shouldn't be like that. Be happy for people, for what they get, not resentful and angry. Let me say again, what God does for somebody else is none of our business. Oh, I think I need to say that again. What God does for somebody else is none of our business. It's not up to us to judge whether they deserve it or not. And they took Joseph out and they were going to just throw him in a pit and leave him there, but some slave traders came by and they decided to sell him, and they told their father that he'd been killed by a wild animal. Well, long story short, Joseph went through a lot of really hard things. He was taken to Egypt and he was lied about, went to prison for 13 years for something he didn't do, but then he ends up being second in command under Pharaoh in all of Egypt. So you say, what about me? Well, I'll tell you what about you. If you do things the way God wants you to, then God is going to give you favor, and he's going to lift you up, and he's going to promote you, and all kinds of good things are going to happen in your life because you have done the Father's will, even though it was hard. Forgiveness is not a feeling. It's a decision you make. So start by praying for your enemies. And make a decision today. If you're mad at anybody, just drop it, leave it, and let it go. Today we're offering my book, Do Yourself a Favor and Forgive. If you don't have this, please order a copy today. You can have it for your gift to the ministry of any amount. All we ask is that you do the very best that you can. You know, the best offering you send in is going to enable us to help a lot of people around the world that are hurting and get these messages to more people that are lost. This book is one you need to have in your library, and you can read it once a year. It'll remind you of the things that I'm saying today. I'm so glad you joined us today. We love you, and I tell you, God wants his best for you, and we want God's best for you. So you pray about anything that's between you and God and get it straightened out today. God bless you.
In our heads, unforgiveness seems justified. The problem is, it does more harm to us than to anyone else. Let's face it, unforgiveness is not supposed to be a part of our lives because God wants what's best for us. It's so easy to replay past arguments, to hold on to offense and stay angry, but that's not what God wants us to do. He wants us to forgive. If you're struggling to do that, here's a little encouragement. There's nothing like seeing it work in someone else's life to give you the determination you need to forgive. Watch this.
If you want to live the life that God wants you to have, you must, there is no choice, you must forgive people who hurt you. And the quicker you do it, the easier it is to do it.
And I thought to myself, how in the world can she do that? My mother was mean and abusive to me.
After my father sexually abusing me and my mother knowing he was doing it and letting him do it, when God asked me to take care of my parents in the latter years of their life, the first thing I thought is, well, that can't possibly be God. He wouldn't ask me to do that. That is so unreasonably unfair.
I went like 30 years without having contact with my mom because of the way she treated me as a child and a teenager. And then one day God told me, it's time for you to go to your mom.
You forgive people that have hurt you, and it will be the most powerful act that you will ever do.
Joyce just doesn't realize what impact she has on people and how God has used her and to help others. And if it hadn't been for Joyce, I wouldn't have reconnected with my mom because I would have still harbored those feelings.
If you choose to do what God tells you to do, your feelings will always catch up with your choice.
And I'm so thankful that I had that opportunity to finally have a mother. With me being 50 years old, I finally had a mom.
Now, if you want to add some real power to your life, then if they need help, you help them.
She's 85. And so I take her to her doctor's appointments and stuff. And she always hugs me. She always tells me she loves me. And she's never done that in her life until recently. It's just a big weight lifted off of me. A big weight. And I didn't know I had that heaviness. God is good. God is so good.
Catch this limited opportunity to see Joyce Meyer live.
I believe God is working in my life, and I am expecting something good to happen to me today.
Three unique sessions of practical Bible teaching that you can apply to your everyday life.
Your worst day with Jesus will be better than your best day ever was without him.
Choose your city, and don't miss Joyce Meyer live. For more information, go to joycemeyer.org/joycelive.
We hope you enjoy today's program. Please contact us or visit joycemeyer.org to share your prayer request or partner with us in sharing Christ and loving people all across the globe. This program has been made possible by the partners of Joyce Meyer Ministries.